Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Welcome, day 19 of my head being held hostage. You know me, I don't like to talk about having a cold, a head cold, a sinus infection, a death grip. You know, it's not about me. Not about me. It's about you. It's about the others.
He just dropped in sinus infection.
Yeah, I don't have a sinus infection.
How about a sniffle? Do you have a sniffle?
I think it's a sniffle on steroids. And actually, I'm on steroids. So there you go.
You look kind of jacked.
You know, it's totally taken my upper body over, and I've never felt prettier.
Still no sleep, huh?
I got up last two nights at 1 a.m. and stayed up till probably 3, fell asleep for an hour, and got up to come to work.
What did you do between 1 and 3?
I'm telling you, some great reruns.
Yeah.
And catching up. I filed everyone's taxes on this show. So, yeah, there's a lot you can accomplish in the middle of the night because nobody's talking. So, I don't even talk to myself. That's how much I don't want to hear myself or anybody else.
You need a dog.
Aaron Katursky is standing by. Our friend Aaron Katursky from ABC News on the byline for the ABC News story yesterday that broke about, 11 o'clock in the morning. In this amazing college admissions cheating scandal. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Sorry you're under the weather. The story is amazing because it really does, I think, confirm the worst suspicions of cynics that the college admissions process in this country is hardly the meritocracy that we think it is. And in fact, is if you have the right person and you have the right amount of money, you can get into the right school of your choice, be it Yale or Georgetown or USC or UCLA or Wake Forest. And the scam all centered on a college counselor who was based in California and somebody who ran for a while a legitimate business of advising kids how to get into school, but who also had this sort of side charity that federal prosecutors said was a front for paying out bribes to college coaches and SAT proctors.
So a million questions here, starting with the fact that this guy ends up wearing a wire to almost prove that he had this large operation, and people underneath him and people involved get taken down because of that. That's not the way that usually works. It's usually the guys underneath wear the wire to take down the mob boss. Is that as unusual as I think it is?
I mean, I think it's a little different, but this wasn't the mob. This was mainly a one-man operation. Now, of course, it involved a lot more people. 50 people are charged, but it all centered around this guy, Rick Singer, who was based in Newport Beach, California. He set up something known as The Key, which was this purported nonprofit organization. And he would have parents pay into it what they purported to be a charitable donation, from a few thousand anywhere into the millions. But the parents, as court records showed with wiretaps and email exchanges, knew exactly what they were paying for. Never mind that they took the tax deduction for the charitable donation. They knew that on the other end, Singer was paying SAT proctors to either take an exam for a student or correct incorrect answers to make sure that the my dog even is into this story.
Yeah. Your dog actually was just admitted to Georgetown.
Well, I know. Well, you should. Do you know how much that cost me?
Yeah, incredible. I can't imagine.
The proctors would either take the exam for the kids or correct answers to make sure that the students were given the requisite scores. And if that didn't work, the other option was you could have the somebody take bribe a coach to make sure that the coach would falsify athletic credentials so that a student could be guaranteed admission as a recruit, even if they never played that sport in their life.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's Lori Loughlin's daughter's stories.
Is it correct? I heard this morning, Aaron, that some of these kids didn't know that this was even happening.
Most of the students, prosecutors said, were unaware of what their parents were doing. So maybe they thought they got into the school on the merits when, in fact, they did not get into the school on the merits. They, in fact, got into the school because their parents had paid all this money. Some of the students had to be aware. Federal prosecutors said some of them were encouraged to, you know, falsify their ethnicity or write an essay about somebody they weren't. But however it was, the students were not charged. And it's now up to the schools to decide exactly what to do with them. And, you know, because prosecutors said it wasn't necessarily their fault, wasn't the school's fault, but now the schools are left to decide whether to kick the students out or if they've already graduated, do you falsify or rather invalidate a degree? We've contacted all the schools in question, but we haven't gotten a response.
I think, you know, like Lori's daughters were, you know, crew members, supposedly.
And never, ever had been in a skull. Had never been in a boat ever.
But, you know, were photoshopped or posed for pictures on rowing machines or whatever. It'd be hard to say, hey, Mom, this is wrong. You shouldn't try to get me into college the wrong way. Like, doesn't seem like it's on the kid.
Well, the daughter also posted a video, social media video, shortly after saying she wanted to experience going to games, going to parties. She didn't really care about school. So that's getting played all over. But
She kind of apologized, I think, for that video. But regardless, I mean, the Lori Loughlin, apparently, according to court records, paid $500,000 to make sure her two daughters were guaranteed admission to USC. And as you say, as recruits for the crew team, and had never rowed a day in their life. Felicity Huffman, the other actress who got caught on this, paid $15,000. She went the SAT route to make sure that her daughter had the right score to get into the college of her choice, and apparently considered doing it again for her younger daughter, but ultimately didn't end up going through with it.
Yeah, and these kids that are already in, because nobody keeps a secret anymore, and because of social media, everybody's going to know who these kids are. So I don't know how stay in the college community when it becomes clear that they didn't get in on their merits. But somebody's asking me about why is this as big a deal as it is, because sports, schools do this all the time, football teams or whatever. There are a lot of schools in this country who game the system to get athletes in. Does this bell ring louder because of the celebrity side or because it's just so perfect for the helicopter parent generation?
I think also because of just the outright fraud. I mean, it's one thing, and Singer alludes to this in the court records, and it's kind of this brilliant, you know, and evil thing. He talks about there's three ways to get your kid into college. One, you can go in the front, what he called the front door, and that is the kid's actually qualified to go to the school. Two, you can go in the back door, which means you build the library, right? And that's kind of the old-fashioned way with money. But then what he was selling is what he termed the side door. He said it's less expensive than giving some huge donation or building the library. You go through the bribery route. And I think just the outlandishness of what the prosecutors called the catalog of wealth and privilege that make up the defendants in this case, and the audacity is what got a lot of people upset. To say nothing of the fact that this is not an equal playing field, because as prosecutors said, for every kid that gets in because their parents paid for a spot, effectively, there was a kid who was qualified
who didn't get in,
rejected.
Yeah, who did not get in. Yeah, and that's what makes it wrong. Now, another big question that I think people have trouble wrapping their head around. These are private schools. These are elite private schools. What is the measure of fairness that they're governed by? In other words, who is in charge to make sure they're fair? Because the institution of the mail fraud and RICO statutes here is sort of an unusual application to this case, though I'm glad they did it.
And the schools all portrayed themselves as victims, and most of the schools said, Stanford, for example, said that there was no evidence anyone in their school beyond the one coach who was nabbed ended up knowing, but they're going to go through an internal process to make sure. Because a lot of people, I think, too, took this notion that the school really didn't know, really this kid was a soccer player and didn't. So I think it also raises some questions that schools eventually are going to have to confront about, you know, is this really fair? Because we all want to believe it's a meritocracy, but I don't think anyone deep down really believes that everyone is getting in because of altruistic purposes. So it depends on how much pressure is brought to bear, but the FBI called it a rigged system based on this fraud, and it only raised, you know, the kinds of questions you're asking now about whether schools are properly policed and whether there are systems in place to try and actually catch this stuff before, you know, the federal government has to go in and police it.
And the taxpayer dollars that go into helping support universities, not just state schools, private schools get help as well. It's just outrageous on every level.
Yeah, no, it looks like, I mean, and Harvard wasn't named, but the endowment's like $37 billion, yeah. And it's a nonprofit. I mean, it's not paying taxes. And there's a lot of these schools are in the same boat. But many said that their admissions process has the integrity required, but they're going to go back and double check nonetheless.
So this guy wears a wire. He's the head of the pen here. You know, it'd be outrageous if he gets off with a 6-month sentence or something of that nature. But are they going to make examples of these people? And Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, are they going to be made examples of?
You know, the statute that many of them are charged under carries up to 20 years. I don't think Felicity Huffman's going to prison for 20 years.
Yeah, neither do I.
But, you know, prosecutors are pretty upset. And I think that, you know, they may want to try and say that this kind of fraud isn't victimless. You know, you've got the taxpayers who are screwed because people are taking charitable deductions for what's essentially a bribe payment. And you've got, you know, the legit students that have been cheated out of a spot at a school with all the social implications that come with it. Because we know how much a college degree is dependent, depends, you know, your life expectancy, your future income, you know, how long you're going to be married. All those things are factored into whether you have a college degree. So there's likely some punishment in the offing, whether it's prison time or probation or fines or what.
What's the next step? We wait and hear court dates and things of that nature?
Yeah, many of them have already, some defendants have already pled out. Some have initial appearances. Lori Loughlin's going to turn herself in today. So all told, they've charged 50 people. They've got a good handle on, I think, all but one or two. And then there's still somebody, I think, in Hawaii they got to go find.
Great work, Aaron Katursky, and also to your co or tri byliners, I suppose. And I know you're still on it, so let us know what's happening. And by the way, congratulations on your dog. I hope you get to visit.
You can have him. Thank you.
See you later, man. That's Aaron Katursky, our friend from ABC News. It's amazing. Dave, you know, we can probably talk about this after the top six when we come back, but the sports scandals and the recent recruiting scandal with Adidas, where a lot of coaches went away after a 2-year investigation, those things people go, yeah, well, that's what some schools do.
Yeah, that's...
But this is a company that was set up to game the system.
It's unbelievable.
And it's if you're a parent, you think you're helping your kid?
Yeah.
You get your kid into a situation they're not prepared for or able to handle, so they can what? Get drunk on the weekends and you'll have to support them when they get out? Right. It's just insane.
You're helping get them into an institution where they are destined to fail.
Exactly.
Basically. I mean,
you're not ready.
No.
No.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Man.
Item number one is that college scam. 50 people accused in a scheme to buy spots at Stanford, Yale, and other competitive universities, including Harvard, in what a U.S. attorney called the largest commission or the largest college admission scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice. You know what? We didn't talk to Aaron Katursky about one of my favorites from this. One of the people that were caught, arrested yesterday, and in the middle of this, is a woman who wrote a book, very successful author, who wrote a book about parents not coddling their kids.
Right. And along those lines, we should do a text question. What would you do or what have you done to get your kids in college?
Yeah, well, we can stretch it out even, right?
People are get arrested.
We won't turn them over to the authorities.
Well, you can stretch it out. What's the most ridiculous thing you've ever done for your children?
Your kids, not just to get in college. Yeah,
advance.
Yeah, because I have a fifth grade story for Ross that I've probably told before, but I took a lot of grief for it. Hey, I was just helping. Item number two, Illinois high school seniors are leaving the state to go to school. Figures released by the Illinois Board of Higher Ed shows almost 50% of Illinois public high school graduates enrolled in 4-year universities in 2017 out of state. That's up from 46.6 in 16 and about 45% in 2015. You know, you presume they're going to come home, but a lot of times, you know, you go to school somewhere, you'll fall in love with that city, mm-hmm. you fall in love, and you end up settling there. Bye-bye tax dollars, and obviously bye-bye people from the state.
And you know what else is driving that? Some other states have cut this notion of having kids pay out-of-state tuition.
Right.
So when you go to another state, you don't have to pay a higher price.
And they're not all going far. They're going to our surrounding states.
Yeah, like Wisconsin.
We have a chance at keeping them.
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, if you're going to USC, you know, maybe that's a tough sell to your kid to stay here.
I don't know if you heard. I just got into USC on a rowing scholarship.
Your mom hooked you up?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never rowed, but they don't seem to make that a priority.
We photoshopped your head on the body of an athlete.
You know
what? Quickly, that rowing thing, though. One of my girlfriend's daughters was recruited as a crew member. She had never rowed before, but she is already at the school when they recruited her. She was
Do that. I have a girlfriend.
They do that all the time. Because,
she was a track girl, and now she rows at a small
But she didn't
college.
Lie, say
no,
she
no,
was
no,
a row, a crew
she
member.
Was She's a coxswain now.
Yeah.
That's what
coxwoman?
It is.
What do they call it? What do they call it?
The yeller.
The yeller.
Yeah.
Coxswain.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Mayoral candidates Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle fought it out yesterday on how much power the city's 50 aldermen should wield in this aldermanic prerogative discussion. Lightfoot again took on the role of aggressor during an endorsement session before the Trib editorial board. Put Preckwinkle in the awkward position of defending the influence the city's aldermen hold just months after one was charged with attempted extortion. And it was revealed a second had worn a wire on his colleagues for 2 years. Ed Burke is tied to Tony Preckwinkle. In a number of ways, but not the least of which is because Tony Preckwinkle hired Ed Burke's son.
Yeah.
And gave him a job after he had been released from his previous job.
She returned the money that she got from him for her campaign.
After Ed got caught.
After he got caught, yeah.
Next, Chicago taxpayers paid more for police misconduct lawsuits last year than any year since 2011 to settle several high-profile cases. The total goes down to well over $500 million and climbing.
That's something Lori Lightfoot brought up when she came in here. That was her big, the money we spend on litigation and settlement for police is.
It's insane the amount of money that's involved. I mean, you know, you almost wish they'd go to trial, try to get the number down. Next, 70 million Americans in the path of a bomb cyclone. Remember that term? Set to strike the central U.S., bringing snow, hail, and rain. We're going to be on the edge of that. We are looking most likely to get high temperatures, maybe as high as 70 tomorrow. But, Steve, I thought I heard you guys say 50 to 60 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, and possibly severe weather as well. This bombogenesis is the official term that meteorologists use. But 70, maybe 70, and severe weather tomorrow afternoon.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And finally this. Baby, Britney Spears, the Broadway musical. I've never been more excited.
Oh, man.
General Borling's going to be in here in a few minutes. He and I are going to go together. Once Upon a One More Time is going to open in Chicago, replacing the Michael Jackson Don't Stop Till You Get Enough musical, because people aren't going to buy tickets to that now.
I think people already did buy tickets, but I think you can get a refund. But I can just tell you, I know a lot of people at this station, our boss Stephanie, myself, Jasmine Cooper, a producer, Elif, we will be all attending Britney Spears musical.
She's a nice girl. She went through a rough time.
Really?
Yes.
I love those songs. Mary, you don't like those songs?
No.
You like the Spice Girls, but you don't like Britney Spears?
Don't like Britney Spears.
Oh, do you like the Spice Girls?
Sorry. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, she just sings through, a mixer.
You like the Spice Girls?
Who cares? They're good.
Everybody sings through a mixer.
Yeah. Well, I know, but she is
Madonna's entire career.
I love her.
Put her a cappella. Oh, boy. It's a mess.
6:33. Your headlines next. 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
6:44, my friend General John Borling, United States Air Force, ladies and gentlemen, is here. He's in town for, a number of different things. But we're always talking about SOS America. That's SOSAmerica.org, service over self. General, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks very much. I listened to your recitation of all of the news events here earlier on, and you really elevated my spirit with all that news.
There is a lot of really
swell news.
There's
got to be some good news going on.
You know, I think about you and what you went through in life, and not just as a POW, but how hard you worked. You supported your family. You had a stellar career in the Air Force. At any point in your time, did you say, you know what I want to do? I want to bribe my daughter into a nice school.
You know, that's probably so contrary to the Air Force Honor Code,
right?
Which is you don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate amongst you those who do, which was the Academy mantra. You know, you had to live by that, and then you tried very hard to keep that standard.
Well, I don't know about you as a dad, but one of the toughest things as a dad, I think, and it's standard. You can call me that all day, but and I think it's tougher for dads and daughters than it is for dads and sons.
I've got two daughters.
I know you do.
Fighter pilots have girls. It's God's revenge.
Yes,
and his great blessing.
But dads and kids, one of the toughest things is we are problem solvers.
Yeah,
and you see your kids struggle, you want to fix it. And as your kid gets older and they struggle more and more important struggles in the world, you want to fix it. And if they want to go to a particular school and you've been successful, there's nothing wrong with having the instinct to go, hey, could I make a phone call? Could I do this? Could I do that? But hopefully you come to your senses and go, I'm setting up my kid for failure unless I allow them to do what they need to do in the right way to get in.
Well, it's we talked earlier, you know, there's above the 10 young people that go to college. I think the national statistics hold up. After a six-year program, only 4.5 graduate anyway. It's a tough road to hoe.
It is tough.
And you don't want to put young people in that circumstance, which takes us back to SOS America, because if that program gets initiated, that year of national service for young men or young women, they can, if they would fail, they've got a way to redeem themselves, if you will, through a year of national service. Not 4 years, but just a year. So we're working on that.
And the Congressional Commission for Public and Military Service has, an interesting year ahead, I suppose.
Exactly why I come to you. We'll have one of our senior directors at the College Station meeting, which goes on the 20th. I'm going to be in
Washington. Texas A&M,
down at the Annenberg Center, and they're taking testimony. I've already testified before them. And then I'm going to be in Washington at the National Review Institute Foundation meeting, where a bunch of movers and shakers that are important to helping the momentum of this thing, and we're trying to get a PR effort underway, financed by some guys here in Chicago and also down in Florida,
right?
Which is why I was down in Florida, you know, shaking the trees.
We can
talk about the national importance of SOSAmerica.org. You know, God, I seem like Johnny One Note, but it's so important.
Well, but you're not comfortable promoting. I am. SOSAmerica.org, it's a great organization, and it's a great idea. Let's talk about a couple of the hurdles you have to get over, because the initial thing, we've had a voluntary protective force now for 45 years, whatever.
Ever since the end of Vietnam.
Yeah, so
all volunteer force.
Yeah, 45 years. So people aren't of the mindset that they have a responsibility to serve. Some of that's character, but some of it is also opportunity, and this is an opportunity.
It is. The reality is that only about 15 or 20% of our young people, the cohort 18 to 26 or so, is physically and mentally qualified to even get into the all-volunteer force today. So the argument that we're making is, if you're physically able to take care of yourself, mentally able to take care of yourself, and you're somewhere in that 18 to 26 range, and you'd like to serve for a year in a small unit where you'll meet other people from all over America, people from different backgrounds.
Network for life.
Network for life. But the small unit identity and loyalty is important. And you'll do important work, not only for the military, probably in a support logistics area, but you'll be doing it also for federal and state agencies who have demand.
Right.
And you talk about all the people that we got to send to the border, we got to fight forest fires, or we have hundreds of things where a disciplined group could of 100 or so could really make a difference. So that's the concept. It's going to take legislation and this PR thing. We're hoping to go out over national TV by midsummer,
because that would be tremendous.
We want to participate in the political process. I'm not going to run, but
if you do, I'll vote for it. You know, apparently you'd be the youngest guy in the field at this point.
Well,
there's a lot of guys.
They're working at it. Yeah.
The social media side of this, you got folks working that as well.
We do.
I don't see you living on Twitter or Instagram.
The mea culpa here is that I've got two really talented assistants, women, who do my three Facebook pages and LinkedIn stuff. And,
smart.
And I'm trying to delegate enough that to staff and all that we can focus on where our strengths are. One of the strengths, of course, is to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to come to the Cochrane Show.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a smart move. SOSAmerica.org. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about where this legislation is and, you know, a timeline as you know it. But also, I want you to take us through what it would look like for an 18-year-old to get in you know, on average, what type of things would they be
26,
doing?
26, yeah, sure.
Okay, so we'll do that in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Retired Air Force Major General John Borling, who's not even close to retired, only does run all day. Famous for a number of things, including the amazing book Taps on the Walls, all the work you've done in service of others. And, of course, 6.5 years of residency at the Hanoi Hilton as a prisoner of war. I know we don't need to go over the whole story again, but the first time you told me this story, I believe it was on a golf course, and it was only after I nagged you to tell me, and after you were shot down, you took over a transport vehicle, not knowing your back was broken.
No, I knew my back was broken. I couldn't walk,
I'm still trying to figure out how you took over the transport vehicle with an inability to walk.
Crawled out in the middle of a road and got out my six-gun. I was, as you know, so far north, there was no rescue, and it was give up or try to do something extraordinary. So I tried to hijack a truck, and as you know, I did.
And it turns out the back of the truck contained what?
It was full of North Vietnamese regular troops,
right.
Which was, as I've joked, a management decision I reviewed a time or two. But you keep bringing up
the line I love is, you said this before, you said it to me, you go, and thus began my extended stay in the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah, but I'm a slow learner and still working at it here. And it's so good to be with you and all the gang here on the show. You're such a patriot, and you got such a reputation for trying to articulate and say and do what's right for America. And I see you, not up here in the skybox but on golf courses and other other arrangements and events around town where you give so much of your time and effort. So
what's
you
the least
say,
we
you say nice
do?
Thing you say nice things about me, thank you, and about SOS America, but I want to make sure that people know that we've got a reciprocal kind of opinion here.
Well, and you're a big help to organizations that I love and I'm fond of because we have a mutual friend, for example, Mark Slaby.
Mark's doing a great job.
Who's trying to make sure that families don't get lost in the gap in the GI Bill, and they're able to make sure education is
the
funded.
Patriot Education Fund. That
exactly.
He and Dana set up and have done a great job, and again, one that's worthy of attention and support.
Just Google it up, Patriot Education Fund. All right, let's get back to SOS America here for a second. An 18 to a 26-year-old, let's pretend this is already law. They know they're going in. They go in and do what? What happens?
The construct is that for the men, it's going to be mandatory unless they're exempted. And they're exempted if they're in the medical track, if they're first responder track, if they're married. That's supposed to be a growing up experience for you. My wife of 55 years would tell you that she thinks there's hope for me in another year or two.
Yeah, give it time.
But in reality, no, marriage is a commitment, and it
yeah,
forces
for
you
sure.
To grow up. So there's other exemptions that are available. But it all gets back to you knew a guy who said, in retrospect, gee, I wish I'd spent some time in the military.
Yep.
It's the most respected institution. So you would enter into a small unit, nominally of 100 recruits. You'd have some officers commanding it, active duty, and some sergeants. And you would go out at the bidding of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Guard, and Reserve, and do tasks that are needed that they wouldn't have to use the frontline all-volunteer force people for. Right now, we've got people who are qualified mentally and physically to be in the all-volunteer force who are having to do support kinds of tasks.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the tail versus the tooth.
Yeah, you're not going to be on the front line of any issue, but you could be called to help in a natural disaster. You could be called to help in construction and various other things. You're going to learn a trade.
You're
going to learn
trucks.
Tests.
Yes, Mary.
Will there be how you said there's only a certain percentage that are eligible to be in our volunteer armed forces now?
Physically and mentally, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the percentage you think that are available for this mandatory one?
If you can take care of yourself physically or mentally, that's good enough.
Okay.
We're not going to ask these people to go screaming down obstacle courses or jumping out of airplanes or doing any of that. Of course, national emergency, you do what you got to do.
Sure.
But it's going to be there's a WPC, CCC thing from the Depression years, part of this. It's really about nation building in America. We hear so much about the divisiveness and so much much that tears us apart. I think
we need something that's going to bring us together.
Shared experiences, yeah. Shared values. This is something where then the guy would say, hey, I spent a year, you know, and it was good for me.
Well, you know the camaraderie. I mean, you know,
yeah,
look,
wonderful.
You've been out a couple of years.
A couple.
And the closest guys to you, I'm sure, are still the guys that you served with who are, you know, we could pick up the phone, you can talk to or whatever.
Goes back to all the way to the academy classmates and the guys you flew fighters with. And
all right, I want to find out about this legislation when we come back. We only got a few more minutes with you, but you're nice enough to hang around, and then you're going to go talk to the really important people. But right now, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
this is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:11 in the morning. Thank you for listening to the Steve Cochran Show. Hey, it's my birthday tomorrow. I know, I don't look a day older than I did today. Show number 1,332. Crank this up a little bit. We're also...
Can I sing along?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on to everywhere you look.
If you had to pick one person from the...
Everybody who needs you.
If you had to pick one person from the cast...
I love Full House.
...of Full House, you thought would have been arrested with felony charge of fraud... And, you know, mobbing it up. RICO statute being applied. I don't think it'd be Aunt Becky, would it?
No, it would have been Stephanie, the middle daughter.
Ah, the middle kid.
She had a few real life, she might have been an alcoholic or something. So that's who I would have. Or Kimmy Gibbler.
How do you think this is going to affect her marriage to John Stamos?
Well, this is going to be a problem because, you know, Fuller House gets, that's the reboot.
Uh-huh.
You know, Aunt Becky is on that.
Yeah, you got to kill her off.
Yeah, we've got two series in our house. We've got Riverdale, which sadly Luke Perry is no longer around for. And Fuller House being affected.
Well, the Olsen twins never came back, so I say we just have her move in with the Olsen twins.
There you go.
That way, if somehow she finds redemption after she gets out of jail, they can all come back.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody!
Hey, what?
Get up here!
Okay.
Wait for it!
And Becky.
Mm. Aunt Becky has always had the best hair.
Yeah, still does, so, I think.
Yeah.
She'll be quite popular in prison. Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. Two very well-known faces in Hollywood, part of this college admission scam. We'll get back to it in a bit. General Borling's here. All right, General Borling, we're talking about SOS America, Service Over Self. And Texter points out, is there any way we could extend it even a step further where there ought to be a mandatory year of social service after the year of military support, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Well, we call it the Uniform Military Service Corps. It's Tier 2, if you will. But these guys would have veteran status for and be able to say, hey, I served. But, there would be transitions because we allow for a stipend, both education and otherwise, after they muster out after the year.
I would also say to people that do this that don't know what it's like would be much more inclined to serve underprivileged areas and various other things, volunteer because they felt they're going to feel good about what they did.
Again, just think about nation building in America and all the tasks that could be done by discipline, small units, everybody benefits. So that's the thrust. You asked about legislation.
Yeah, where are we at?
It's going to take legislation, but we're going to ride on the coattails of this national commission that you referenced earlier.
Right.
And to try to get out in advance of that, I think...
Congressional Commission for Public and Military Service.
Right. It's Public, National, and Military Service.
Okay.
And as I say, we've got people down there next week at College Station. I'll be in Washington. And we're turning up the amplitude, if you will, in terms of effect nationwide. But this commission is really important. John McCain was one of the founders of this commission, as you may know. And... So we want to make sure that we don't drive in front of our headlights on this thing. The national bed down of the organization itself and the resources which we think should be devoted to public relations, again, like coming with your blessing on this show and talking about it so that we can expand the membership. We really want people to join up. You can do it for $9 a year or $9 a month, or you can do it for
There's several different levels for anybody.
Lots of money. There's all kinds of levels you can support.
And you big shot corporate types are going in, they'd be happy to take your money as well.
Well, one would hope so, but there is this sense out there, and this is something we're combating, that even though the military is the most respected institution in America, bar none, that there's still the notion that military service is something left to others, and we're suggesting that for the nation to endure and prosper. We need to buy into it. It's the old...
Well, that's a great concern, right, about the Afghanistan war, the longest war in American history, sure. 16, 17 years. But it's a war, I'm sure, and I'm not knocking anybody, but it's a war where the rest of us can all go, wow, I'm really glad we have people who are handling it, as opposed to we're in a war. There's no collective feel there.
There's a push-pull circumstance. So I think Americans don't instinctively like long and drawn out conflicts. We like
to
get it done. You know, if the game is worth the candle, go get it done.
Yeah,
that can be a pretty violent get it done.
Sure,
but you know that's the name of the.
And again, we're not talking about a year of service that involves frontline activity. If the world starts to come apart, everybody has
then
to get involved.
Goes, sure,
but we're talking about support service and networking and bonding. And being a part of something that will benefit you for the rest of your life.
And the discipline of serving in a military unit and that esteem that comes out that says, hey, I served. And remember, women, this includes them, too. I mean,
better.
But they can volunteer versus something mandatory. It's a matter of numbers. And the program is a net plus in terms of economics.
What is that? So you're not going to lose money with it. You're going to make
money. We're not going to lose money. We're going to make money. Okay. And there's no artifice. I mean, you're going to pay them a low salary, but you're going to get, in terms of effort back, a multiple of 3 to 4x by our
estimation. This piece of legislation, the Congressional Commission or the Commission for Public and Military Service, these legislation, they generally start as a white paper, which is an idea.
Right.
It goes through various committees after it leaves a congressman's office. And eventually it gets boiled down into something that they can start arguing about.
We've had draft legislation before. It's died in committee.
Okay.
That's why we want to use the momentum of this congressional commission.
Yeah, smart.
Although it's going to probably take, in terms of recommendations, multiple swipes at this thing. And I don't think, forecasting ahead, that SOS America is going to be the singular solution. There will be other solutions having to do with the service in the civilian domain, service
well, you mentioned
overseas,
the
Peace Corps kind of thing.
Yeah, but you mentioned the CCCs. My father was in the Civilian Conservation Corps and went from Ithaca, New York on a truck in 10th grade, left school, and was trucked across the country and helped build roads in Oregon.
Right.
Because everybody got involved. You were needed, everybody got involved. We talk about the infrastructure problem in this country. That's a prime example of how you could help.
It could certainly be used because we do have resources dedicated on demand to federal and state agencies.
Yeah.
And so there should be an appeal for getting this kind of resource, talent at your disposal.
I was going to recommend that you take guys my age.
We're not going to.
Yeah, and you made the point. You made the
or
point.
My age, yeah.
And listen, as a general, you can do this. You made the point. You probably have remote wrist, which is a sort of a carpal tunnel thing from handling the remote. That's
precludes
the extent
you
of
from being able to do
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, knock it down. One more, Mary Sandberg.
So I wanted to point out the in the last 20 years, all the shift of high school is just getting ready for kids for college. So they are not prepared really to be productive citizens if they're not going right to college. They are left, with no direction once they graduate high school. And so, a lot of even college kids are taking a gap year or doing something in between going right to college.
Yeah.
There needs to be something to bridge.
Yeah.
So it's really important. They need, young people need something to ready themselves for actually interacting in life.
It's an option. And, excuse me, the real requirement is we want to mix ages. Because 20 is different than 18,
right.
Different than 23. Boy, you learn a lot.
Amen.
In that time. But it's an option. It's that you can exercise if you want to. Again, there'll be ample opportunity to grow and to learn and basically become a better husband, father, citizen, mm-hmm. wife, mother, daughter.
Well, this is what you do when you're a retired general and a war hero and one of the longest-serving POWs in American history. You go, I'm going to kick back and try to reinvent America as well in the next stage of my life. By the way, you look as healthy as a horse.
Thank you. I'm going to just take off on this.
I know you are. Yeah, you get the last word.
Richard Bach was a great aviation writer. I like aviation,
I've heard
poetry,
that.
And
heard
literature
that about
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
And
the question was asked of him. He said, when do you know your life's mission is complete?
Okay.
And the answer is, if you're breathing, it isn't.
Amen.
Amen.
1,000%. And that's a great thing.
That's the American way.
And that's a great thing for anybody driving to work, listening this morning, or at home, or wherever you are, to keep in mind. You might be in a rough spot right now. You might be in a tough patch, but your mission continues. And each day you get up and you get another chance to try to make it better.
Keep marching.
That's it.
Keep marching.
God bless you, General. It's always good to see you, and it's an honor to have you here.
Best to be with all the gang on the Cochran Show.
I haven't had a chance to mention, but SOSAmerica.org would be a great place for you to go this morning and sign up.
It sure would. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jordan Nixon standing by. Jordan is this morning's most valuable person on the planet. I think he's still a high school senior. Let's find out. Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you? I'm good.
You're still in school, right?
Yes.
We're talking about the wrong side of getting into college. Let's talk about some good things here. You applied to how many schools?
I applied to around 50 schools.
50? 50?
Yes.
50 schools. Now,
yes.
You know, you must have said 50 schools. At least I'll get into one or two. How many did you get accepted by?
I've been accepted into 39 schools so far.
How about that? And you haven't heard from everybody, right?
No, I haven't. I'm still waiting on a couple of admissions decisions.
Now, Jordan, for a few of us older people that haven't applied to college lately, you didn't actually have to fill out 50 applications. Is that correct?
Definitely not. No.
So you used, there's new systems in place like the Common Black app?
Yes, the Common Black app. It's one application, and you only pay one fee, and it sends your application out to around 37 schools.
So
wow, that's crazy.
It sounds crazy to ask with a 50 school application list and already in at 39, but what's your number one school?
I actually don't have a number one school, as crazy as that sounds.
You must have a top five or like these three, four, five. I really hope it's one of those, right?
No, not really.
Really? So any of these 39, and the number can still go up, would be okay?
Yeah, I'm still considering my options. I'm just trying to find the best match for me in my major. So I'm just narrowing it down by that.
What do you want to do?
I want to major in international business.
Well, there's some schools that are better at that than others,
sure.
Like there is with all majors.
Yeah. Have you visited any of these campuses yet?
Yes, I've visited a couple.
Because I think these people, like college trips now are more involved in, they have to start to blend together at some point when you're seeing.
That's a great point. It's like when you're looking for a house and then you go, okay.
We see 30 houses, you're like, what? I can't remember.
You got to plan them, though, in the area and go to like three, you know, in the whole area for one
But
day.
Even if you see three, that's a really great point. Other than the look of the campus, how does one differentiate for the other?
Well, of course, the campus does matter. I do the research about the school, and I look into, like, the diversity rate.
Sure.
Okay.
And what school is better at some things than others, like academics-wise, the atmosphere of the campus. And some schools will even let you reach out to their students, and you can get their own very own opinion.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I know our friend Dave Ennett here wants to say hi to you, but I also wanted to mention you're one of the captains of the varsity cheer team. You participate in the Chick-fil-A Leader Academy. Chick-fil-A is a big deal in Atlanta, by the way, or in Georgia, I should say. And a member of DECA. Amy and Ross were both in DECA. That's an entrepreneurship club where they teach you about business. Dave Ennett, say hi to someone accepted to even more schools than you.
Yeah, well, many, many, many more.
Jordan next.
Jordan. Do you have in your mind what the ideal college campus would look like?
The ideal college campus.
I mean, are you looking for rural, urban? Do you want a tree-lined boulevard through the middle of campus?
Well, I love the city, so I think I would want a mixture of urban, but also with trees.
Yeah, like a nice quad.
Right.
Where they could all meet. Like the University of Chicago campus.
Yeah, that's
University
one.
Of Chicago campus has a huge quad, which is like a park.
Right, right.
And the other thing we should point out is that Jordan has gotten $1.6 million in scholarship offer as well.
Not bad. Where's the inspiration to be such a good student come from? You got a bunch of good students in your family?
Yes, my parents are my inspiration. They motivate me every single day, and they do great in school, so I have to do great in school.
Yeah, well, I like to have expectations. Do you have a big family?
No, my family, it's not big.
Brothers and sisters, though?
I have one brother.
Younger or older?
He's older. He's 21.
Okay, so at 21, he doesn't have to live up to you because you're younger.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope he's happy and doing well as well. But you're an amazing young lady, and I know you're going to be nothing but a success, and especially on a day like today after all the news yesterday, we wanted to talk about what's right with college, not what's wrong, and you're a great inspiration.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line. We're going to send you some real pizza. Yes, Dave?
I was just going to say, there's a really nice campus just north of Chicago. Jordan, I don't know if you have any interest in this area. It's got trees. It's a little urban, but mainly...
Are you speaking of Northwestern?
Yeah, well, funny you should mention
that. Wow, Northwestern. We're familiar with that. It is a great school, and it sounds like you could get in immediately.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to drop in its name. Jordan, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
All right, but don't hang up. The kid's 17.
Yeah.
My friend Bill Clark's here. Bill and I have been pals. Yeah, grab that mic, Bill. Going back to my Minneapolis days, he's in town for a conference, but he's a Chicago kid. He's coming home.
You know what? I'm sorry. When does Bill have to leave?
Now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
we have a little time that just freed up.
Oh,
our
that's
British
okay.
friend did a bad time change calculation.
Oh,
I just found out.
So. All right, so we'll have Paul Coyden tomorrow or something.
Yes.
Okay. But I want to say hi to Bill because you have four kids.
Three.
No, you have four. I forgot to mention the other one. We have three kids. I have two. And, you know, our kids went to college, worked hard to get in, worked hard while they were there. Well, at least Amy did. And they earned it. I don't know. I just got gut reaction because I know you're a good dad. Gut reaction to that, what broke yesterday, that news about scamming into college?
Yeah, Steve, we talked for a minute off the air, but I think that part of life is going through the battles and hardening and developing character that causes you to do better in life as you hit more obstacles. Everybody hits obstacles in life. People wish things were easier. What they really should think about is becoming stronger and overcoming those obstacles. And it's part of developing. And when people or parents kind of take away those obstacles thinking they're helping their kids, I think in the long run they're hurting.
You think you're protecting them. And you're actually making them weaker.
Exactly. Yep.
So
and they don't build self-esteem. They don't build confidence. I mean, half the joy of being successful is the battles you overcame. You know, if you look at General Borland, the guy's an amazing man.
Yeah.
What he's been through, and he's still so humble. I don't know if I could have handled what he did. I'm pretty sure I couldn't have.
No, it's quite amazing. Yeah, you're right. He's an amazing guy. And he's better than us, but we knew that when he walked in the room. But the other thing that amazed me about this story is when the parents sat down, we're talking again about the Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, college cheating scam to get the kids in.
Major CEOs and lawyers.
Major CEOs, fashion icons.
Right.
All these people.
Hedge fund, the guys that run hedge funds.
Right. All bribing their kids into top schools. The amazing thing is a kid of 16, 17, 18, early 17 and 18-year-olds, when the parents would sit down with these kids and help craft the lie, like photoshopping their picture on athletes' bodies, for instance, trying to get an athletic scholarship. But at that point, the relationship's already broken. You know, that's not a loving, healthy parent-child relationship. You're going, all right, here's what we're going to do. Of course, maybe that's how you end up president. I don't know. As things work out. So, I don't know. It's a sad, disturbing story. But again, the FBI, nothing wrong with the FBI. They're getting it done.
Right, right. But it's sad to think that the message they're sending to their kids, that's all. It's got to be confusing to a kid at that age to be in the middle of that.
Bill is a guru and handles my $8 fortune, amongst other things. He said he's in town for a conference and things. How's the market going to do today?
You know, it shouldn't be moving too much. They're waiting for some news, obviously, with China and the trade agreement. The Brexit didn't seem to go so well yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a problem for us?
Not so much.
Not an immediate problem.
Really, more for England, because they're going to be out of the EU, and it'll be a little bit more cumbersome for them to deal with Europe in trade and so on.
You need rules. You need established things. You need an architecture of how you do deals with people.
Absolutely.
And it goes away when they're not in.
Right. Yep.
The thing that I think people get frustrated about, I'll let you go on this, is they did a referendum. The referendum is clearly going to damage the country. And people go, well, then do it over. You know, if you see a train coming, you get out of the way of the train. Right. But we have an example right here in Illinois. We're underwater by $100 billion-plus, and we keep talking about how we can't revisit the rule, the Constitution, that helped put us in this position. It's idiotic. Of course you can. Do it.
It is tough, but the people who would pay the consequences of that change obviously are very passionate about not making the change on their watch.
Yeah, and we need a little political courage. Let me know if you see any.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
Say hi to your family.
I will do that.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, the story most people are talking about this morning is this college admission scam. If you just went through it, you know the tension that's in it. Forget about the college loans and how much money you're taking on as a family in debt or your kids taking on in debt. The idea that you could bribe your way into schools and your kids worked hard for, it'd be what, about 13 years from age 5 to age 18 to get the good grades, mm-hmm. to get into Northwestern or to get into UC or to get into Illinois, to get into a good school. Notre Dame, whatever. It's incredibly frustrating for people. On a Hollywood note, we can take this up with Dean. Fuller House apparently is in their last season.
Yeah, that's what a texter said. I did not know that.
But you still got to do something with the character if you haven't finished shooting.
Sure.
I don't know what career Felicity Huffman has now. She's suddenly nuclear.
Yeah, I don't
married
know.
To William H. Macy.
right. And she, the Coen brothers are very close to her, so maybe they put her in a movie. But, I mean, she goes from one of the most loved Hollywood women. Everybody loved her. Everybody loved working with her. To now she's a pariah because she's, cheating a system.
How come in her case her husband isn't named, but in Lori's case her husband
is? That's a good
question. As far as the story, while it's shocking, I assume personally that this happens all the time. Last night I was at one of Catherine's track meets, and that's all the parents were talking about is running by their systems that they've been using and deciding which is the level of when does it become criminal.
Well, it's gonna be
when you know people at places and you ask for help.
It's going to be interesting to see if this is a dam breaker for more of these, because this is a company.
Mm-hmm.
This is a company of cheating that was set up to get it done. And Dave, I think there's been sports equivalents. The big Reebok Euro scandal that just happened,
mm-hmm.
Payoffs of coaches, payoffs of basketball players. Certainly there's a million questions in football about how some kids get into school. And the fact that the NCAA has created it's upside down, basically. The NCAA was created to have athletes who went to school who played sports.
Right.
As opposed to athletes who go to school who may take classes. And in a lot of schools, that's the way it goes.
Or in the cases, in a lot of cases now, I shouldn't say a lot because it's still a limited number of the so-called one-and-dones in college basketball who really want to go straight to the NBA, but they're not permitted to, so they have to go to college for a year. But they're not there to go to college. They're there to wait a year so they can go to the NBA.
Specifically, football and basketball in a lot of schools has become the minor leagues of professional sports that happen to make a whole lot more money than the minor leagues do. Now, the argument, that's the counter-argument, right? The counter-argument for these schools is the amount of money that athletics brings in
mm-hmm.
pays its way in athletics, but may pay the way for other things as well. But there is some sort of ethical balance that really is out of whack.
Yeah, well,
in a lot of places.
In a lot of places. But the other question that comes up, what's the difference between what these parents were doing and the parents who are certainly fortunate enough to be able to take $2 million and donate it
mm-hmm.
to an institution and thus ensuring that their child is accepted.
Above board, below board?
I mean, that's totally legal, right, for them to do that.
If you do it in daylight versus not.
What's the difference?
It's transactional. Well, I mean, look, it's a crime because you conspired to do it. Wired money across state lines in various places.
Well, right.
So that's how it becomes a crime and it reaches the RICO statute. But there is a gray area, what you're talking about. We talked about this earlier. If you can scam your way onto a college football campus to play football, then why can't you scam your way into college to be in college? But we're not talking about we are talking about regular people. We're not talking about elite athletes here. And by regular people, I mean the general student population. So if the general student population has rich parents, and in a few cases took a slot away from somebody who didn't have rich parents who would have otherwise got in, I'm glad it's illegal. I'm glad they found a way to charge.
Oh, I am too. And I'm not suggesting it shouldn't be.
Right.
But it's just, to me, this happens on a more widespread basis than is being discussed here.
I think it happens even in cases where you didn't have a paid briber or someone taking your test. Like, it's, even if you ask someone to give your kid a spot that didn't deserve it, even if there was no money, that's also hurting another kid who couldn't get in. It probably is happening a lot everywhere, not just with but on the other hand, you've worked really hard to have some status, Steve Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think you've earned some right to be able to help when you can?
Oh, sure. I do it all the time. And not just with my kids. I mean, I'll make a call because I can to somebody. You know, the running joke in show business is you get a great table at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. But it's bigger than that. If you have, as a public person, if you have some sort of weight, you make up your own jokes at home, then you use it in ways that benefit you, hopefully appropriately.
Right.
And hopefully not with money involved.
I can see where it gets out of hand, though. You're like, oh, I asked, you know, I got her on our soccer team when she was 10, and then we did this when she was 16, and then, you know, and then next thing you know, you're paying someone $1 million to get your kid in college. Like, it's, you know, where's the line?
I can't think of a single time that I ever took advantage of whatever position I was in or am in that hurt another kid.
Oh, now, I'm not saying you.
I'm just thinking out loud. Yeah. But I will tell you this quick story. Ross was the lead in a fifth-grade play. He was Santa Claus, the fifth-grade holiday play. I had committed to play in a big golf tournament in Palm Springs in California. And I made the commitment months before. And it was to somebody who was a good friend. And it was the type of thing where I couldn't get out of it. Now, I never missed any of the kid stuff, as I've, you know, bored you with and annoyed you with many
times.
You
love the pickup from school, all those.
All the things you don't believe.
Yeah.
So I felt very guilty, but I knew I had to keep this commitment. Mm-hmm. So the way I appeased my guilt was, and keep in mind, he was in fifth grade, it was seven, like 2000, right?
Yeah.
So technology being what it was in 2000, I hired a videographer to video the play. So therefore I could see it. But I thought that was pretty self-serving. So I paid the videographer to provide videos to every parent that was there for all the other kids in a way. Now, that didn't get me out of trouble, but I appeased my guilt a little bit for not being there. It doesn't really even apply to the category.
You paid your way out of it. It doesn't even apply. No, that you did something nice for other people.
Did it to benefit me.
Yeah, it was all for him. It wasn't.
I would not have done it for the other parents.
How did
and
Ross
stuff.
Feel about that?
Nah, he didn't care. He was Santa Claus.
That's true.
All right, we'll come to some confessions of people who are willing to confess. David and Debbie, hold on if you can.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Debbie's on the phone. She's a big Lori Loughlin fan, I think. Let's find out. Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm a Hallmark junkie. So she is all over that station. She's got two stations. She's got the Hallmark, and then she's got the Mystery Channel. And she plays the lead, one of the leads in When Calls the Heart. She's the mayor. So I don't know.
Her net worth was $8 million when I checked it yesterday, and she's a very busy, active actress. She wasn't just Aunt Becky. As you're telling us.
Right. And what we're getting at here is a Hallmark Christmas movie is going to have a death of a mayor to explain where she went. And this is going to affect Molly and Pete Save Christmas.
Which is the big question. Thank you, Debbie.
And we're going to give Debbie a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, March 20th to the 24th at Navy Piers Festival Hall, featuring more than 20 unique display gardens, over 100 presentations and workshops, plus interactive experiences to keep the whole family entertained. Details at chicagoflower.com.
And David, you get that too, I think. But David's on the North Shore. David, I've only got 30 seconds here, but I noticed on the phone screen here, you're going to make a good point. You're not surprised here.
Not at all, Steve. I was having a conversation with a dad yesterday. We have kids in kindergarten, and I said, in second grade, travel soccer starts. And the way your kid gets on travel soccer is he pays $5,000. But then if your kid wants to evolve, he has to pay the coach for his clinics. We've become this society of just keep paying to get your kid better. Keep paying to get your kid a spot. And then we're surprised that these celebrity parents or wealthy parents think they can pay their way in, because it's the same with baseball and soccer and even in football on the North Shore. You pay, your kid plays. It's $5,000 for an 8-year-old to play soccer.
It's insane. It's insane. Thank you, man. It's just crazy. All right, we'll come back.
I will also give him a pair of the Chicago Flower Gardens.
There you go.
Well,
that's good of you. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. One of my favorite ridiculous stories is, I think it's Jane Buckingham. I think she's the parenting expert who wrote a book on how not to coddle your kids, who's also been implicated in all of this, and she was one of the people arrested yesterday. Because this really isn't, I mentioned this on Twitter, this really isn't helicopter parents. This is WTF parents.
Yes.
It's like, what part of this don't you get that's wrong? And a lot of this, we keep saying, well, they're, you know, it's a really dumb thing to do for the kids. A lot of this is for the parents, because the parents' egos are so out of control, they want to make sure they can say, oh, yeah, my daughter's at USC. My daughter's at UCLA. My son's at Georgetown. My son's at Northwestern. My son's at, well, Northwestern, not fair, because they're not in. My son's at Stanford. By the way, were you surprised Stanford's in the middle of this? I know it's just one coach, but Stanford's held to a higher standard than other schools.
Well, but I would say the same about some of the other schools.
Georgetown?
Georgetown?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of baffling, really, when you think about it, because I just wonder how many of the kids, all of the kids were aware their parents were doing this?
No.
I wonder.
No.
I mean, I would, if I was the kid and found out my parents were doing this, I'd be mortified.
Unless you're a kid who has been coddled and treated, and their parents have been doing everything, you know? So, college is so scary, that leap from high school to college. I wouldn't think you'd want to be, you know, opted into something that you can't get into yourself.
That's right.
I don't know. But, you know, if you don't get me more lemonade on the porch, what am I going to have to bitch about? Dean's coming up here in a couple of minutes for more on entertainment. We're going to get to the news now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
Yeah, Hollywood. 8:14, Dean Richards.
Good morning to you.
How are you, Dean?
Big exciting morning around the number 9 today.
Why?
We're getting a visit from the new owners of the company.
Oh, they're in today?
Yeah.
Well, they're coming here tomorrow. I told them, I said, what time are you coming in? They said, well, probably 9:30. I said, that's not good for me. I said, because I'm sure you're going to want to ask me questions on, you know, how to run the company, and you're going to want to, you know, you're going to need notes.
Who should be fired? Who should not be?
Right.
And it's your birthday. Yeah, you want to leave.
It's my birthday. I mean, you know,
normally, you have lunch with your mom. That's a real, you have a real commitment.
Yeah. I mean, normally, though, I stay till 10:05, 10:10 easy. But tomorrow I figure I'm out at 10. I might even leave before the show's over.
Maybe they're planning a big birthday party for you. Maybe this is going to be a new thing in the company where every year each of the TV stations and, well, there's only one radio station in the company.
But, the entire company.
But maybe that's going to be a company-wide holiday from now on, Steve Cochran Day.
Do you think they bought the company just to meet me?
Maybe.
I think that's probably the case. And they need to know how important birthdays are here at our station. Right. Birthdays take top priority, as we all know. So,
well, here's, I know that's why I joined the company back in 1991, way before I even knew you. I knew someday that we'd be together.
Right. Here's what's tentatively scheduled for tomorrow. Now, you think about any business anybody might be in that's listening, and the new bosses / owners are coming in. Okay, only in show business could you even consider getting away with this. There are scheduled or being discussed possible appearances by babies and dogs tomorrow during the show.
What do you mean?
Just people coming in with stuff, you know, for me, which I don't demand, because, you know, I make no big deal about my birthday, as you know. I just like the idea of the new owners walking by, and it looks like a circus in here. Oh, what the hell do we buy?
Is John DeCoste bringing back the poop and pup
again?
Oh, boy. I didn't approve that. These these people under 3 feet tall coming in.
Steve, for somebody who doesn't make much of their birthday, you've mentioned it 17 times in the last 2 days.
I'm just because you got you know, here's the thing, Steve.
10 minutes,
Steve. You have to remind people to not make a big deal out of it. That's why you have to keep mentioning.
It's all for our benefit, Steve.
Right. I believe last year, right before his birthday, he said to me in the office, "Nobody really cares about 57 anyway."
That's true.
That was a he was having a little sad party.
Here's what
I thought
we
he was
have.
58.
Here's what we
this
have.
Year. Last year, he told me that.
Hey, we're expecting our new owners here any minute. They may interrupt this broadcast for all I know.
Perry, they come in and unplug it.
Perry, this has been going on long enough. You two guys are morons.
You're out.
Perry Sook and Tim Bush are their names.
Yeah.
And when they walk in the front door here at WGN, we have a belly dancer. We have a craps table.
There you go.
That we've set up. We've got a guy doing balloon animals. We have,
and I'm worried about babies and puppies. What am I thinking?
A George Washington and Abraham Lincoln look-alike to greet them.
How about a psychic?
No, we don't have a psychic.
Wait, is Bozo going to be there?
No, Bozo's off today.
Oh.
Bozo's in treatment.
I mean, you would think, though, the new owners,
Bozo is the franchise.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, Bozo, you
he's the Steve Cochran of WGN-TV, Bozo.
Without Bozo and Tom Skilling, you got nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. They are the franchise, those two.
Now, Dean, were you instructed to wear anything special?
No.
Because our boss yesterday on our call said, make sure we're wearing something.
Yes.
That's what he said.
He said last week not to wear cutoffs.
Well, Todd is the nicest guy you could ever have for a boss. He also said yesterday on this conference call that we do every week, he said, you know, if you could, maybe tidy up your area.
Oh, yeah.
Right. As opposed to anyone else in that position would go, I don't want the place looking like crap. Pick up your junk. Get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you again.
There's a couple offices that have a few pairs of shoes laying around. I think that's what he was referring to.
So I've decided not to wear my tube top tomorrow. So,
well, I mean, it's going to be almost 70.
Right, I know. It's going to be rough.
We were advised to tidy up a little bit, but not to dress up.
But your office, your area is already tidy, right?
Yeah,
you fairly. Keep a tight ship over there?
Fairly. I tidied up a little more than usual. Like they're going to, you know, come over here and go, wow, Dean's area is messy. This deal is off.
And we were told they're going to walk around and look at stuff.
Look at what?
I don't know.
That's well, here we got a lot to look at. Here over at Bradley Place, what are you going to look at? Oh, there's the parking lot. There's the hallway. There's Dean.
A lot of cinder blocks here.
Right.
Have you been to most any jail you've seen WGN TV?
It's funny you say that. I'm literally just thinking that. It's like WGN TV, the glamorous Channel 9, and all the great people that work there. If you sucked all the people out in a human vacuum, you could just turn the vacuum inside out and blow in inmates, and they'd be perfectly at home.
Well, it was built in, this building opened in 1961. That was très chic back then.
Mm-hmm.
The cinder block look was very très chic.
And compared to where we are now for the radio station, we overlook the lake, the river, the Chicago skyline, this beautiful millions of dollars of studio space here. We almost ended up on the third floor at Bradley Place. There was some discussion that we would be upstairs. And I guess that's where the radio station was for many years, right?
Second floor.
Oh, second floor.
I didn't know there was a third floor.
Yep. Third floor is the roof, I'm being told.
No, there is a third floor.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there's a third floor. Hey, free parking.
Yeah, well, there is that. Yeah.
There's free parking, and we're right in back of a McDonald's, so you can go good quarter pounders whenever you want.
Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin need work. Britney Spears may be coming to town. Mike Tyson has some very wise words of wisdom, as you would expect. The Catholic Church is upset at Saturday Night Live. And Jordan Peele has got another hot new movie about to come out.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Channel 9. Any sign of the new guys?
Not yet. We've got Pat Tomasulo outside.
Does he really seem like the right guy to greet to greet the new guys?
It's Paul Conrad and
Pat. Conrad's fine. Tomasulo's cranky.
It could be a little unpredictable.
Is he waiting for him in his Man of the People car?
No.
Because that's not really a great front-facing look.
I don't think we have the Man of the People car anymore.
Oh, no?
And it's also tiny. That's not a good sign for the show if they got rid of the car.
Yeah, I believe that may have gone to Victory Auto Records.
Oh, okay. Anna Balaval should be out there for
Anna
sure.
Anna should be there. She's very, very charming and mm-hmm. very welcoming.
People love her, and she loves people.
Yeah.
Hmm. But she's in Cuba with her family, isn't she?
No, she's back, and she's not from Cuba. Actually from Puerto Rico.
Oh, here we go again.
No.
All right, so we have the big college entrance admission cheating scandal involving...
This whole thing. Two people.
Mind
is blown on this.
Yeah, I mean, these two people, these two women, you go, aren't they sweet? Beautiful, sweet.
Right.
Fun.
And Becky from Full House.
And Felicity Huffman. And they're the greatest criminals in Hollywood history, apparently.
Wow, yeah. Apparently involved in, you know, they're alleged. You know, two of the 50 people indicted yesterday in this college admissions scam. Pay to get their kids in, to have SAT tests taken for them, to have their kids, in Lori Loughlin's case, accused of getting their kids recruited for the USC crew team when their kids were not at all involved in crew.
That's so bizarre to me. They never even participated in the sport.
You wonder how rampant this is, though. I mean, the reactions that I heard from this yesterday, the number one reaction was, wow, what a shock, rich people buying a privilege for their kids.
Yeah, a lot of cynicism.
A lot of that, which, you know, is, I guess, true, you know, if money talks. But a couple of interesting side notes to this whole thing. Rob Lowe and his son posted reaction on this yesterday after it broke. Rob Lowe's son, John, tweeted about how much work he went in to getting into Stanford. And he said it grosses him out. It really, really grosses me out, he says, that some kids didn't get in because undeserving kids did get in. And then Rob Lowe commented on his son's message, how very proud he is of his honest, hardworking sons.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I
mean,
I think so, too. He took the tweet down because people said that he was being mean to Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, but
there's nothing mean about that.
What's wrong with being, you know, your kid
collectively to the internet? Shut up.
Yeah. The other interesting thing was, you know, Lori Loughlin's 19-year-old daughter, who has her own YouTube channel, which is apparently very popular. She's got 2 million subscribers on her YouTube channel. She goes under the name of Olivia Jade. In a video from
August. Olivia Jade, is she a stripper?
Where she was last August was talking about balancing her college life properly, in which she said all she really wanted to do was party and go to game days. Wasn't really
Woo!
That interested in school.
Woo! Party!
She has now apologized for that after getting quite a bit of backlash.
That's a shame that mom's going to go to jail and you didn't even want to go in the first place.
Yeah, in the first place, right.
Could have just got you tickets to the game.
Right. Got some red Solo cups and some quarters.
All right, so Lori Loughlin has a nice career as a TV actress. I mean, she's very busy. Felicity Huffman is a legitimate movie star. Will these women work again?
I think they will. I think they'll go on an apology tour. You know, they'll pay their price, whatever the price is. I mean, they could get 5 years in jail for this. So, I mean, there could be some jail time involved in it. But I think at some point, you know, you make your apologies, you write your books.
Well, the script for this has got to be written right now.
Yeah, you go through all that. I think that they will survive it.
Both of them supposedly have no prior, so the idea that they're going to get a bunch of jail time.
It's going to be a little more difficult for Aunt Becky to give advice to the kids now
right.
about doing right and wrong on Full House.
I'm mad by the Olsen twins. They go, I listen to her.
Right. Right.
Britney Spears in the news?
Britney Spears, there's a new musical that's coming out. This is the moment as a theater critic that I've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
A full-blown stage musical with nothing but the music of Britney Spears in it.
Are we going to go and do that thing where I get on your shoulders shirtless and pump my fists?
Right.
Yeah.
And both of us walking down. It's going to be at the Niederlander Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve and I walking down... Randolph Street singing Oops, I Did It Again.
in two-part harmony.
Oops, I
did it again.
Did it again.
That's it. That's it.
This was... We were going to have the Michael Jackson musical, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, world premiering here in Chicago. Mysteriously, that's been canceled.
It's interesting.
Producers say that there was
weather?
Time conflict.
Ah, sure.
Yeah. Time conflict. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the Michael Jackson documentary. At least they're not saying
that. No, of course not.
So this new musical, which is going to be called Once Upon a One More Time, will be opening here in Chicago in November for 2 weeks before it then goes on to New York. But listen to the premise of this musical, if it doesn't sound disgusting enough already. It's centered on a group of fairy tale princesses who gather for a book club.
The Fairy Tale Princess Book Club.
Oops, I did it again.
I'm going to give you a chance to correctly guess who on this show loves Britney Spears. Of all the people on this show, who would you think loves Britney Spears?
Dave Bennett.
Not Dave Bennett.
Well, how do you know that? How do you know that?
Not as much as Sandberg.
Well, not as much.
No. I do. I'm a Britney Spears fan.
I thought you were more like a country music girl.
I love country music, but I have a soft spot for Britney. And even General Borling, a war hero, spent 6 years.
And a pop star.
6 years in Vietnam, he said that woman...
Six and a half years in a POW camp.
Yeah, she has reinvented herself and gotten her life together, absolutely. And he said she's an impressive young woman. So.
Yeah, yes, okay.
But she should stick to dancing instead.
Yeah.
Dean, well, I would say that more people like the show, like Britney.
Say again?
I would say that more people like Britney than don't on this Cochran show.
Oh, so Joe's a big Britney fan too, is what he's saying?
I didn't say that.
Without saying that he loves her.
Steve Grzanich, do you like Britney Spears?
I do like Britney Spears.
Okay.
Yep.
I like her story. I mean, she was a mess, and she pulled herself up from that through the help of her dad, mostly, I guess.
I think if somebody gave me tickets to a concert, I'd go see it for sure.
Yep. I didn't say I didn't like her. I just don't like her singing voice.
Hater. Hater. Hater.
Well, Dean, isn't the musical is going to be other people singing her songs, right?
Yes, not her.
So maybe it'll be people with good voices, Mayor.
Oh, there you go. Then I'll go. I'd like to go see her dance. I'd watch that.
She's a reasonably, good singer. She's not in this musical. This is a musical that uses her music, like Mamma Mia uses the music of ABBA.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And like the Billy Joel musical, I think it was called Moving Out, that used his music. It's like that. It's one of these jukebox musicals. So Britney's not going to be here in the show itself.
By the way, if you could contact...
And again, it's about fairy tale princesses who gather for a book club.
If you could contact your Broadway connections that we talked about in that off-air meeting that we had, I'm almost finished with my Starland Vocal Band musical.
Didn't they only have one hit, though?
Yeah, this is called More Afternoon Delight.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a service of More on Productions.
Okay. Oh, I see what we're doing here. We're franchising things for More.
Yeah, we're licensing.
Wow.
Catholic Church is mad at SNL?
They are very mad, and they're demanding an apology from Saturday Night Live for something that Pete Davidson did on Weekend Update, in which he compared the Catholic Church's sexual abuse allegations to R. Kelly's sexual abuse allegations. And the Brooklyn Diocese says that this is a difficult time in the church's history. The joke was disgraceful and offensive. They want an apology. Neither Davidson, SNL, nor NBC have responded.
Listen, I saw it live. He didn't have to go there. It's no more offensive than all the other times it's been brought up. And I would just advise the Catholic Church to maybe focus completely on cleaning up your act and removing all pedophile priests.
Probably, if I was going to prioritize things, I would say that's probably number one, too.
Watch Channel 9, see the bosses come in, and immediately get out of the deal to buy the company based on how they're treated at Channel 9.
Or you can watch an entire staff be fired in one clean swoop.
That could be.
Major bloodbath today.
And Dean's got the Jordan Peele story on TV as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Headlines next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Joe, tell me, and be honest, don't hold back. What do you think of my Irish jig?
Scale of 1 to 5?
Yeah.
Geez, I would go with a 4.
Yeah, I thought it'd be strong.
Yeah.
Strong.
I think he's got to work on keeping his arms straight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's really impressive how you get that one leg up and touch it.
Yeah.
That.
What's very crazy cool. is I'm surprised the wig can stay on since there's not other hair to grab onto.
Yeah. Yeah. As Abigail put it the other day, what do you think of Pop's hair? It's short.
Short.
It's short.
It's very short.
She's 3. So, Madeline Mitchell's here. Madeline, Maddie, what do I call you?
You can go Maddie. We're
Maddie?
Friends now.
Yeah, we're tight. Maddie is a 2019 St. Pat's Queen. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have you here. You're going to do the parade, but what are the other duties?
Oh, it's a year-long commitment. We were talking about it before, but we're definitely in like the thick of it right now. But I was just saying, I just shot the puck at the Blackhawks game on Monday, which was an absolute blast.
In your sash?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That can't be
easy. Was it sash over jersey? Or?
Yeah. Okay. And it was great because the plumbers union that puts on the parade, they treat us literally like royalty. And they're
great people.
Oh my gosh,
they're great people.
Absolutely wonderful. But they got us jerseys, and on the back of them, they had them like embroidered, and mine said
the real deal.
Oh, queen with 19 because the year, and then my court girls, theirs said court. It was it was so much fun. We had a blast.
And we just talked off the air. You're engaged. Imagine her, every time you know she wants to win a fight, she just puts on her Blackhawk sweater and just points at Queen.
She's engaged. She just got engaged in December, and it's the most beautiful ring. It's an emerald green.
Thank you.
It's emerald cut, emerald green.
Yeah.
Surrounded by diamonds.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's perfect for a St. Patty's Queen.
It goes with the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that actually happened before you won, what do you when is, I don't know, is pageant the right word? How do they pick you?
Yeah, we call it the contest.
Okay,
but so it's one day in January at the Plumbers Hall, and there are about between around 20-25 judges. They're all tied to the Irish community somehow, and the rules of the contest are you have to be 18 to 28,
okay,
never married, of Irish descent. And
100% Irish descent, or can you be a mix?
You can be mixed.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I think over 100 girls this year tried out, which was great because, I mean, I met half of my closest girlfriends sitting in the basement of the Plumbers Hall just because we were doing the contest together.
Okay.
But it lasts all day. There are a bunch of different rounds. They keep cutting it down. At one point,
you have you ever done contests like that? Pageants,
no,
things like that?
Absolutely not.
So is it nerve-wracking?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
I mean, it's like interviewing on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking for someone who can carry themselves well, mm-hmm. who can articulate themselves, be a good representative for the Plumbers Union. And
does it help that you're a teacher and you're in front of people all day?
You know what? I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
Hinsdale Central.
About
and
college.
Now I'm working there. DePaul.
Both my undergrad and master's. Yeah.
Right. So, and you talk to kids in classroom settings all day?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you teach?
I'm English.
And you also coach of the debate team?
Speech team.
Yeah. Oh, speech team. I've called it the debate team twice now.
Right. Speech team. Hinsdale Central.
And you're state champs.
Yeah.
You should just agree.
State champs.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Kind of a really crazy year already, and it's only March.
Now, I'm sorry, Steve, but when you won your title, you know, you were just a regular teacher, and then you come in one day, now you're the St. Patrick's Day Parade Queen. Do you announce that to your students, or are you like, hey, guys, now, did you walk in with sash and just put it right
wear
in front
the crown
of their
face? Subtly?
You know, like, is it, how'd you do yeah.
It's so
them?
Funny. They were so sweet. The first thing that I actually had to do, like official duty, is I went on Windy City Live, and I was terrified, absolutely terrified. But it was super fun.
You should be. That Cheverini is so mean.
It was super fun, but just to be on live television, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then right afterwards, all my students were like, Ms. Mitchell, you were fine. You sounded great. And I was like, you guys, I don't know how you do it, because I'm coaching you, and I was up there like kind of panicking. But it was a lot of fun.
How long have you taught?
I'm looking for a teaching job right now. I just finished my master's at the end of November.
Okay.
So I'm doing some like long-term subbing here and there, but I've been coaching at Central for the last like 5 years.
How long did it take you to get used to being called Ms. Mitchell?
Oh, I'm still kind of getting used to it.
Right?
Yeah. And it's funny because I work with my former coaches. So starting to try to call them
colleagues.
And yeah, it's really fun. But
that's
it is wild. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is weird, though, because there's a lot of teachers. I'm friends on Facebook with teachers I had, and I feel uncomfortable that they say their first name to me.
Yeah.
Like, they're still, you know, Miss Prasser.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a small town. It's like if you ran into the teacher at the grocery store, the local IGA.
Yeah.
You go, oh, hi.
And they tell you, they're like, we're normal people, too. I'm like, no, you're not.
You're not. You're Mr. Hugo, the mean math teacher.
You live at the school.
More coming up in just a second. You want to say hi to anybody, by the way? Anybody you want to kiss up to?
We are talking to my fiance, so hi, Tyler. That's about it.
And you and Tyler will be married next year.
Yeah, next year.
Okay.
And
Sandberg, I think you already got an invite.
I did.
Yeah. Yep. Congratulations.
I've got all the details.
I mean, now I'm the queen. I got a lot of people to invite.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly. Everybody's your best friend.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mm-hmm. think Bill Rancic. Bill Rancic's going to be in here in a little bit. And our friends at RPM, they sent over the world-famous meatballs.
Oh, you didn't say it was those meatballs?
Yeah, from RPM Italian.
Oh, those are good.
And the only problem is they didn't send over plates. And
because they holding it in your hand, then
no, they assumed that that we had plates here. So yeah. I took the top off the meatball container and turned it into a plate because I'm a survivalist.
I would have went and got you a plate maybe from somewhere if I didn't know you were going to eat. Sometimes you wait till after the show to enjoy.
Yeah, well, you know, on my new healthy eating thing that I'm doing, I'm limiting myself to two meatballs as opposed to 200.
So didn't you just leave everybody else with cold meatballs?
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to throw any corned beef on there today? Or?
You know, they didn't send any.
When you said that
these are great meatballs, though.
When you said Bill Rancic is going to be on, Maddie just, the queen went nuts, so she's going to stick around for a little.
You know, it's funny. I've never seen a female, when I mention Bill Rancic, who goes, oh, my God, he's hideous.
I know. Everybody loves Bill.
He's just so nice.
And he's a gentleman. Yeah, no, he is so nice.
He is a good guy. Dad, good husband, and a good friend.
The guys who are most attractive are the ones who treat their wives like queens, mm-hmm. and he is so outwardly in love with his wife, and that makes him just dreamy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. And he's appropriately afraid of her, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline Mitchell's here. Maddie from the PPG Paints Green Room to the Steve Cochran Show. And you like our view?
Oh, my gosh. It's stunning.
Right?
You really have the best view.
It's probably the best view in the city.
Yes, I would agree.
I don't think anybody has this. All right. So as the queen, when do you have to be at the St. Patrick's Day Parade? And how cool is your float?
So I actually get to ride in a carriage.
Oh, of course
you do. But the whole day, I mean, it's like a full weekend. We kick it off with all these different events. And so Saturday's we're all going to, there's a beautiful mass at Old St. Pat's.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dignitaries from Ireland are coming over for it. And it's just, it's gorgeous. They've got Irish dancers that dance through the aisles. And there's a breakfast. And then right after that, we all go over at noon. Kicks off at Columbus and Balboa.
It's got to be fun for your dad.
Oh, he's... My dad is also a union labor guy. He's an iron worker.
Oh, there you go.
So to be just, I mean, he's freaking out. My whole family.
To be recognized by the plumbers union? That's my little girl.
Exactly. Well,
Maddie was telling me off the air that this is her fourth year involved. She was part of the court the last 3 years. So
okay.
This like has been a ramp up to a really fun. She said that it's been great every year.
Oh, every year.
They treat them so well, the plumbers union and everybody involved. So your dad is like. Once you've been the queen, can you be a part of court next year? Or
so once you win, like that is you're done. So
okay,
then I'm going to be crowning the next queen next year, which I am very excited to do. Just to be inducted into this like group of women. I wasn't in a sorority in college, and it kind of feels like actually today after this, I'm going to a former queen's luncheon with all the queens from the last.
It's nice of you to say, but I wouldn't give up the crown. I just keep it.
Well, I get to keep the crown.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Where's the shadow box?
Where's the former Queen's Luncheon?
We're going to Joe's Seafood today.
Oh, nice. That's a fabulous place.
It's a great restaurant.
Awesome. Yeah, but it'll be fun.
Are you going to work the crown?
It's no RPM.
Are you going to work the crown into your wedding? You know, put the veil on the crown?
Maybe. Pull a Meghan Markle a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I will.
If you turn around, there's my friend Bill Rancic right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. He's actually here. It's great to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
It's not just a great smile. You have the entire package. You get a great personality. You know, you're teaching kids.
Like Steve.
It's all good.
Thank you.
We're proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So get out there and have fun this week.
I will.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We'll do this. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll go next.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, my doppelganger's here. If you're watching CLTV, you know that my twin is here, Bill Rancic. And Bill Rancic, it's always a pleasure to see you. I say this every time I see you. You know, I never see you enough.
I agree.
So
it's great to be here. Thank you. I feel like I'm looking in a mirror.
Isn't it crazy? It's just crazy. Let's go through the list. How's Juliana?
She's great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And Duke's
all good.
Great. Yeah,
and Duke is six.
He's six.
It's hard Duke, to by the way, is not their dog. Duke is their son.
Edward Duke.
Yes. Yeah. And
my sister has a dog named Duke.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
She named him after my son was born.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that.
Was there any? Did that cause any commotion?
No,
no. Because we have a.
It's a good running bit though at holiday time.
Yeah, my mother-in-law had a dog named Callahan. We called Cal, and then my brother-in-law named his son Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog people thing, I guess it happens more often.
It does happen sometimes. I had a cousin that named their child Spot. You know, and that's where you got to draw the line. We want to talk about your annual big event commitment, but you're committed to this particular organization year-round. But let's catch up on the career. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, we're in the process of opening a new restaurant here.
This is the craziest thing. If you have any measure of celebrity, you get to a certain point where somebody goes, hey, you know, we got to go in on a restaurant. And restaurants are all work, very little success rate, and a tight, tight, tight profit margin. And you got to hire crazy chefs to work for you. Other than that, it's easy. And yet you've carved out with RPM Italian and RPM Steak two giant successes in town.
Well, it's all about the right people and good partners. You know, and we've got the Melman family. And
what are they know about food?
Yeah. Gosh darn good food, Steve.
Yeah, good food, good service, and good locations. But we have, you know, it's all... I wish I could take the credit, but it's certainly Doug Saltis in the kitchen, who's amazing, and then RJ, Jared, and Molly, who are the, you know, the real brains of the operation.
Well, I love going there, too, because, you know, you feel great when you go there. Your staff's tremendous.
My stepdaughter is 15, and they went and saw some friends of hers, took her to Dear Evan Hansen on Sunday, and then they went to RPM Steak for dinner after, and we have a nice boomerang video of them eating the cotton candy.
Oh. Yes, that is my son's favorite thing to do there.
Yeah,
he actually knows how to operate the machine.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is a little alarming.
We'll put him to work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time.
It's time.
Stop living off us. Does Juliana do anything with the menu?
A little bit, yeah. 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 She gets involved with like the uniforms. We have to dial her down a little bit. She wanted the servers to wear these Chanel pantsuit outfits. And
right.
Jared's like, well, it's an Italian restaurant with red wine and red sauce. These white Chanel pantsuits aren't probably going to work.
And it's not a great show, I guess, if she sits there with friends from L.A. criticizing the outfits as they leave, yeah. Right? That's probably not great. That's
probably not good. Definitely not.
But business is great, and you're going to open
Thank God. Yeah, we've got, you're going to probably be able to see it from up here almost. It's at Clark in the River. So we have RPM Seafood, RPM Private Events, and then we've got a spot that's going to be a pizzeria on the water.
Great is that?
Yeah, it's going to be great. So it's essentially three different
eating
concepts.
Pizza on the water. That's
right.
That sounds like my everyday dream.
Pull your boat up.
Great day. Oh. Yeah. When are you going to open a Chinese restaurant? Because I was just talking about this morning, and you know this, you live in Chicago. The Loop itself, the downtown business area, there's no longer a killer Chinese restaurant anywhere that I'm aware of.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, ramen is now seems to take over a little
Her
bit.
Her name's Juliana DePandy.
That's right.
There's no Chinese food coming out of that, I don't think.
Doesn't matter. She knows all.
Her mama.
She's good. Totally good.
The ironic thing is it was, as I mentioned many years ago, the cooking gene was a generational skipping gene because her mom is an amazing cook. She literally ruined a cooktop when we first started dating because she was boiling water and then she took a nap and it was on the stove for like two hours and it melted the cooktop.
How much pressure though is she under when mom is a great cook and you come from that stock?
She embraces it.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. 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 Good.
No interest in cooking.
Does Duke know mom can't cook?
Yes. Yeah.
And
I do the cooking.
Do you ever say to Duke, we're never going to make fun of mom about this because we'll both be in trouble?
He's wise enough to know.
Oh, yeah.
He was born with instinct.
He knows how to butter her up because she is, you know, she'll give him Z-bars and, you know, mommy, you look so pretty today. Oh, thank you, Duke. Here's an ice cream sandwich.
Wow, so look at that.
Yeah, he's a hustler.
Kid's working it.
He's a hustler.
First grade?
Kindergarten.
Yeah,
kindergarten.
You're old, man.
I'm going to be 48.
Yeah, I didn't think you could get there.
Boy.
Yeah, you're holding up okay.
It goes quick.
Still running around the country doing speaking engagements and things?
I am. I was just at South by Southwest.
Talking to business startups and people like that?
We're doing this really cool thing. I'm working with actually a local company here, Stellus. They have a corporate headquarters up in Northbrook, and we're going around funding entrepreneurs who are coming up with ideas for ways to improve cancer care, like non-treatment options. So we're kicking it off in May, and we did it last year, and great ideas. Just, you know, cancer touches so many people, and we're really going to do some great stuff. Yeah, so it's great.
Is that the next startup boom, mobile startups? And I don't mean like mobile necessarily, but startup based in Silicon Valley. Or we have great startups here with 1871.
Yeah, that's right. 1871's great.
And the nerdery, you know, what those guys do over there. But if you're running around the country, going from city to city, finding the best people, it seems like that's the next big hit.
Well, I think this is what I like about this is it's big business, you know, helping small business.
No kidding.
And fueling these, you know, mom and pops or, you know, 3, 4, 5 person, you know, small entrepreneurial businesses. And they're taking no stake in it. There's no equity stake. It's totally just a... you know, give them money and resources and, you know, the ability to kind of take these great ideas and help the whole cancer process.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're waiting for the big miracle, so why not from you and
your
guys?
We're getting close.
When you meet somebody and you have those conversations about business, can you pick them out like a... Like, you know, you can tell somebody that really has the chops to maybe get it done?
Yeah, I think it's pretty quick. You can assess it relatively quickly.
So a startup type that's looking for funding, what's the wrong thing to say?
Well, I think trying to be a know-it-all, you know, is definitely when ego gets in the way. I think the smart ones realize that. I always say you have to be like the conductor of an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to play every instrument, the music's not going to sound so good.
But right.
When you realize it. You know, she can play the trombone great. He's, you know, you find
the
best.
He does bassoon. We learned yesterday. Steve does bassoon.
Yeah, a hell of a bassoon.
Yeah. So I think that's what you want. You want people who realize that they need smart people around them to succeed.
Ross, my son Ross, is doing a bunch of interviews now for work. And, you know, it's a whole relearning process if you haven't done it in a while. And I haven't done it in a while. But, yeah. I mean, they'll fire me here soon. It's just a matter of when. But going through the interview process now in an era where... You don't have the get a job the way you did when you were a kid or the way I did when I was a kid. It really is different now. So do people have time to get the interview thing down? It would seem it's more awkward.
I think it's about just authenticity, you know, and I think when you're
even if you only get one shot.
Well, but when you're in that interview, if you're trying to be someone that you're not, odds are the person that's interviewing you is going to be able to sniff that out pretty quickly.
Sure.
You know, so I think it's about authenticity. It's about work ethic. And for me, it's a gut feeling that you have, you know, and your instincts.
Is there something it's not like you need more stuff to do, but is there something in business you really want to do that you haven't been had time to or yet?
This is the kind of stuff I love, you know, because
talking to people and writing books.
Well, no, I love helping the small business owner, okay. You know, because that was, I started out in a 400 square foot studio apartment here, as you remember.
Sure.
you were there with me.
Yeah.
Not physically, but you helped promote me back in the day.
There wasn't enough room. I said, Bill, I can't live here anymore. I need some space.
That
literally.
Futon.
Literally, just I need some space.
And then you fell asleep with water on a hot plate. And
yes. And, yeah. Yeah. And he said, well, at least I'll marry someone someday. He'll never do this to me.
But it's, you know, a couple years ago, I did a program where I gave a Super Bowl commercial away to a small business owner.
Yeah,
I
remember. We promoted it.
Yeah. And it was amazing to watch this guy. He has it was a company called Death Wish Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we took this guy from $1 million in sales, barely making it, right, to over $10 million the next year.
Wow.
From that 30-second commercial.
That's tremendous.
I mean, it changed not only his life, but probably his kids, because the kids will probably take that business one day. So it was a generational impact we had. So for me, that's the kind of stuff I love.
What a rush.
Yeah, it was great.
What does Duke want to be when he grows up?
He wants to be a builder. For now, or a pilot. Yeah. He loves airplanes.
Do you spend a lot of time in construction, like on house sites and things?
Yeah, I've got a couple projects going on right now. Yeah, he loves it. He loves building. He's got these magnet tiles that he loves playing with.
Are you handy?
Not really. No.
Can you fix a few things here and there?
I can, yeah, but...
Do you make it seem cooler than it is because he's only six and he doesn't know?
I try to, yeah. He thinks I can do everything. But that's not really the case.
Well, hang around a second. I got a couple of things to run by you.
All right.
More with Bill Rancic coming up.
March for Kids.
Yep.
Yes. Mercy.
Coming up next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bill Rancic's here. He and I went to Pharrell. We got a song for you, Pharrell. He said it's... It's Come Get It, Bay, and he said, I like it. And look what it turned into.
Who would have thought?
Texter wants to know how you met Juliana.
I became a judge on The Apprentice after season two or whatever it was.
I was on
two through five, and I was out promoting, I think it was season three, and I was doing some work at the Boys and Girls Club in Santa Monica, and she came to interview me. And then at the end of the interview... I asked her if she wanted to go jogging sometime because she said she was a runner. How dorky is that, right?
Is that your move?
That was my move, you know?
Wow.
And then she looked at me and she says, how about we go to dinner instead? And I said, that sounds like a good idea.
Did she add dork to that or was that later?
Dork.com, she called me. Yeah.
Did you like her right away?
I did, yeah.
I think that's such a great personality.
She's fun. She's a lot
beautiful,
of character.
But I mean, she's fun.
Fun.
So is she a jogger?
She was, not anymore. She's more of a walker and, you know,
I love the
searches
walking.
The internet on on her iPad while she's walking on the treadmill.
For you younger men listening, be careful about asking if you'd like to go work out because the woman may not.
Yes.
And the
yes.
first thing she's going to think is what?
That you think I'm fat.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, inside the female brain.
When we first met, she told me she was 29. And then her, you know, 6 months of dating, her birthday was approaching. And where I, you know, out here, your 30th birthday is a big deal.
Big deal.
Right.
And no one was planning a party for her. And I'm like, this is insane. So I decided to take it upon myself, and I'm going to throw her a
big
birthday
deal.
Party.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
And none of her friends were returning my calls. Her mom or sister weren't returning my calls. And I thought, this is strange. And then one day we're at dinner. It's her and her sister on one side of the table and me at the other. It was like an interrogation. And her sister looks at her and says, if you don't tell him, I'm going to. Oh. And my heart sank, and I didn't know, you know, a lot of things
Are
going through your mind at that
affair?
Point.
What's happening?
Right. Like, yeah. You're pregnant?
Is there a child somewhere else?
Right.
You just don't know. Right.
And then it turns out she was turning 32. So
wow.
I learned what Hollywood years were called.
Okay. Can you imagine that conversation, though, when she goes to her mom and her sister and goes, oh, my God, Bill's planning a party for my 30th birthday. I never told him I wasn't 29. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Hollywood years.
Yeah.
Apparently, every woman in Hollywood fudges their birthday.
Oh, sure.
Bit.
Yeah, that margin is small.
Yeah,
really, in the big picture. Would have been bad if it turned out she was 57.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, you know, 57 looks like. Look at me. Chicagoans Mercy Home makes this month the March for Kids campaign. They're helping to break cycles of abuse and neglect, and this has been important to Bill for a long time. So what are you doing?
Well, it's a couple things. One, at the RPM restaurants, when you buy an old-fashioned, a portion of the proceeds goes to the Mercy Home. And then this weekend, at both the parades, we're going to have folks wearing these green aprons collecting donations.
Right.
And also on all the bridges in the loop. So the Southside Parade, the Chicago Parade, and then on Friday, all the bridges in the loop, people are going to be in these green aprons collecting money. And if you can't make it out, you can go to mercyhome.org. You can donate. You can volunteer. They love having mentors there. Tutors. I started out tutoring. And it's just an amazing institution. It's been around since 1887. You know, not only are they giving these kids in Chicago a safe place to live, but, you know, they're giving them the resources to thrive and succeed in life.
And they run 24 hours a day, 360 days a year. 100% of the funds go to, like, they need them
they need
all
the money.
To run
yeah.
this.
Because
so.
it's run 100% by people donating.
Well, you think about the fact that you run businesses, and if you didn't know what the next 30 days was going to be like, and you had to count on funding from strangers constantly, this isn't customers coming in to buy a product.
No.
This is generosity, goodwill, and people understanding what you're doing.
Yeah, but I mean, the good news is there's a lot of great businesses here in Chicago who are also running these campaigns in March to raise money. So Chicago is such a generous town, and people realize how important it is to take care of these underserved children, and, you know, get them out of those cycles of abuse, get them out of the violent neighborhoods that they live in, and this is really their last stop, you know. So it's something that we need to do.
Is Mercy Home just here in Chicago?
Well, they have the Mercy Home for Boys here in Chicago. Then they have a location in Beverly for the girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so the funds stay here.
The funds stay in Chicago. Okay. Yeah.
These three volunteers are going to hand out Mercy Home shamrocks.
That's right.
It's a way to say thank you for your donations. Mm-hmm. You can raise a lot of money that way. The first kid that you mentored? Yeah. Would you read, hang out? What'd you do?
You know, it was a lot of math. This is going back, God, probably almost 20 years.
I was going to say, have you stayed in touch?
So that was old math. You haven't started the new math yet.
I have not, no, and I'm not qualified to do that today.
But are you curious, like, what happened to that kid?
Yeah, I know he went on to college.
Good.
So he was a junior in high school when I started with him, and I know he went on to college, which is great. You know, they have an incredible graduation rate.
Sure.
And they stay with these kids even throughout college. So, you know, and then beyond. And there's aftercare. So when, you know, when they become adults, if they're still transitioning.
And the door is always open.
The door is always open. Yeah. So. Yeah. There's a lot of great success stories here in Chicago.
It's a great group to be tied to, and you've raised an awful lot of money for them. So
yeah. And Father Scott, who runs, he runs the program. I mean, he's 24/7, just, you know, so passionate about it. And they've got a great team over there. These people, they're looking for interns, volunteers, you know, and obviously financial donations as well. And you know, even they have a store in Old Town on Wells. And whenever, you know, we have some gently used items, we always donate them to the Mercy Home store on Wells Street in Old Town. And they resell those items, and the money goes right to the Mercy Home. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think we need to make sure we're promoting the restaurants appropriately, because somebody says, can a normal working person like me afford RPM?
100%.
Yes.
Well, that's the
concept.
That's exactly it. You know, we like to call it attainable luxury.
Yeah.
And you can go in there and you can order a, you know, bowl of Mama de Pandy's Bucatini Pomodoro, and it's, you know, it's $10.
Right.
So it's up to you. Or you can order a $300 bottle of wine if you choose.
Right.
You know, it's up to you.
Duke would prefer the latter. because you're going to pay tuition for real and not try to buy your way in.
He's going to be an earner. Yeah, he's going to pay his own tuition.
Listen to you. You do run an Italian restaurant. It's great seeing you, man.
Yeah, always.
And thanks for what you're doing with Mercy Home. Give him the website again.
Mercyhome.org. That's mercyhome.org.
Are you going home now?
I am. I'm going back home.
Did you red-eye it back from LA?
No, but we got delayed and delayed. So,
so
it was,
you need a nap.
Yes, I need a nap and some breakfast and some coffee.
I know a guy that brought meatballs if you want to take a few with it. Thanks to RPM Italian for the drop-off this morning. And say hi to Juliana and Duke.
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Well, we have exciting news here on show number 1,332. And it comes in two fronts, not the first. I mean, the first of which, and we're all shocked about this. Ro just got into Yale.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Ro.
Thank you. It only cost my parents $42 million to get me into Yale.
Fantastic.
I said this yesterday on the air. My mom knew that she could have bought me into Northwestern. She would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now Northwestern's not part of the scandal. I just want to point that out. Isn't that right, Mr. Katz?
That is correct.
All right,
yes,
thank you. I just want to make sure before we, because we were very fine partners
very
with Northwestern here. Yeah.
Now, I grew up in upstate New York close to Ithaca College.
Yes.
Where I went for a year. And then I left. So because I'm a successful alumni, they put up a statue, but it's only a quarter of what it would be. So it only goes up to my, just below my knees.
Yeah.
But across on the other hill, as we say in Ithaca, is Cornell University, one of the finest schools in the world. And my dad worked at Cornell for many, many years. And Cornell had a situation where family members would be, could go tuition free. My mother was always very disappointed that I didn't go to Cornell. And I finally had to sit down and explain to her, Mom, you can't just go. You can't just show up and go and they give you a degree. You have to actually get in. That was the one hurdle I couldn't get over.
Turns out one photoshopped picture of you as a pole vaulter and you are in.
Well, that's the weird thing. I'm on the Cornell crew team now. Lori Loughlin was handling that for me.
Oh, my goodness. I hope our digital department is working on your head on a pole vaulter right now.
Right?
I need to see that.
Now, that picture, for those who have not seen this, they put that picture all over TV. It's like an Olympic pole vaulter, right? It's like an adult guy, and they put this little baby face on this guy. And like when the kid shows up, pardon the expression, when the kid shows up at school, they're going to go, that's not him.
Right.
I like the
crew. Rowing is an incredibly difficult sport. You got to be fit. You got to be in super shape to be a member of a college crew team. Now, we talked about this earlier, Sandberg. As a matter of fact, Todd Manley's daughter is on the crew team at her small college outside of Boston. And because she was athletic, they recruited her and they taught her how the sport.
Right.
But nobody gets a scholarship at USC for anything.
Well, and they recruited her after she was already on campus, which has also happened to a girlfriend of ours, that once she was at the school.
You're talking about Todd's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when
she
got there, then they're like, hey, you might be interested in crew.
Yeah, right.
Happened to a friend of mine at U of I as well.
But Lori Loughlin's daughter had never been in a skull, never been in the boat.
Well,
she'd never been a coxswoman.
Mm-hmm.
She'd never been anything close to that. And because of that, I think that probably negates your scholarship. Oh, wait, there's more. And then she did the video on a very popular Instagram channel that said all she wanted to do at college was go to games and drink.
Right.
Go to parties.
You know, I don't like to study. I think that was basically the best line from the entire
video.
How'd you
like to go to jail for your kid? And the reason you're going to jail, she's just peed on.
I'm going to just tell you something. I was thrilled when the FBI kicked in the door of Roger Stone. I was thrilled when they kicked in the door of Felicity Huffman. Hut, 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 coming down on the ropes on the sides, right? They've got the tank out there, right? They're ready to go just in case Massimo comes. Wait, which one's Massimo married
Massimo's,
to?
Massimo's Lori Loughlin.
Lori
Bill
Loughlin.
Macy.
Bill Macy, right. Bill Macy. And the funny thing is that, like, Bill Macy on the tapes, we're told, is like, yeah. He has no idea what's going on.
No.
He doesn't care.
And he didn't write the check either. I think she signed the check.
Yeah, because we were trying to figure out why he wasn't indicted.
I think because they've got the tapes, and apparently it's pretty damning, because it seems like all of a sudden Felicity Huffman got all, like, part of the scheme. Like, all right, now, you know how this would be better?
I once played someone who stole money. right? How fast, honestly, how fast in Hollywood, if this came down, would you have gone, I'm researching a role immediately?
Oh, for sure.
And then gone to rehab. Researching a role, and now I have to go to rehab. That's the only thing you could
do. That's what you got to do. That's what I said for Jussie Smollett. That was the perfect way he could have gotten out of researching a role, and now I'll be in rehab. Thank you, and Mike Monaco will bail me out right now.
Jussie Smollett on Shameless would be good if they rest Macy, right? I mean, how perfect would that be?
It's in town.
Right? Come on. All right, let's talk about the real big news on your show.
Yes, there is gigantic news. Yes. We are introducing
a new cast member.
Yes, a new cast member. I believe her first appearance, she probably will appear slightly today, but tomorrow will be her first full-time cast appearance on the Rokan show with Anna De Vlantis, even though Anna De Vlantis isn't here for the next couple of days. So she's going to miss out on this. And she's Lauren Lapka. Mm-hmm. She's sitting here to my left.
Why does that name sound familiar, Will?
That name sounds familiar because that was a name that was here. Mr. Cat will remember this.
I do.
Because wasn't he the most important figure on the game? The short-lived
but
genius
idea.
Sports
director. No, he's the boss.
Actually, I was hardly that.
Yeah, that's all right. Just go with it.
He's in charge of all sports in Chicago.
Right. You were in charge of sports ball, as we know. Yes. And that was the... And Lauren, of course, was on the game for it was
for those of you not watching MCL TV. Ro just pointed at her.
Yes, they did. Thank you. Yeah. And she has returned now back to Chicago to be a part of this.
And
radio
she's
experiment.
A Chicago girl,
not just a Chicago girl. I'm going to speak for her like she's like the Taliban around here.
I like to see what he remembers about me.
A Chicago woman.
Yes, she's a Chicago woman. That's right. Excuse me.
You're a Chicago broad.
I'm a Chicago woman, too. But not just that. She is an insane, when we first started looking around trying to figure out what we were going to do.
I wonder what comes after insane, don't you?
A lot of things could come after insane.
Right.
Hopefully something good.
Insane Sox and Hawks fan.
Oh,
indeed. I mean, full swag. I don't know if you saw the Insta, you know, where the kids are all on and they're you know, they're putting up the pictures of people riding.
It links to my MySpace and Friendster pages.
the I don't even know what that is. She's got her welcome back to Chicago pictures. I think that the Chicago White Sox organization would be very happy about it.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you. It's great to be home, except for, you know, on this rainy day. But yesterday I was greeted with a beautiful Chicago sunrise on my way to work. So I liked it. It was a nice welcome home.
And you've been working with Mary Vandeveld throughout the morning. Is she a tough taskmaster?
No, she's actually brilliant. I've been very lucky to be sitting with her. When you're being trained a bit, thanks. When you're being trained, you want to make sure that you're with the best of the best. So I'm lucky.
She's the best. She's way too talented to be on this show. And she's been on it for years.
When they told me that they were going to be training Lauren with Mary, I'm like, what?
Right.
How did we get Mary? How did we get Vandeveld on that?
Yeah, it's impossible. It's just impossible. We must know somebody.
And Mary's one of those people that thinks she's not good at training people.
She's great.
I know, but because she knows it so well, she thinks she can't break it down, but she does a great job.
It's probably not a great time to tell you, Lauren, but Ro spent $15,000 to get you into the training session with Mary Vandeveld.
Where's my check?
That's how much you wanted you to be there.
And I feel so honored.
We posted your face on Khalil Mack's body to prove that you were actually in the NFL, too.
So it's return of the lap.
Nice.
Yeah, it should work.
Nice.
Why not?
I like that. Very wow.
I think you found a bit. There's another one.
Yeah, I know. We're working on them right now. Back in the office, you know, we've got all the writers.
Have you met Kevin, Paul?
Of course.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ro's got a nice team. Has Ro explained to you that the normal way to Ro's show is you work with me for a few months and then he steals you? That's normally how he staffs up.
That's true. Well, I'm going to count this as her working on your show first.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
How I know for sure that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, we're having lunch, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All
right. Right. Hey, Sam, we've already signed with you out here.
I did, I did. We're just waiting to announce it after Lauren gets settled. Right.
I've actually felt really bad because I've been on the show long enough now and Rose never even asked.
Yeah. Dave's been on this show essentially since the 80s.
Yeah.
I did palm him a C note, though, at the Northwestern
nice.
Game.
That was kind of a thing. That was a good start.
Hey, nice to see you. How you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sure Ro wants to save this story for his own show, but you are a broadcast hero, and this is a little bit inside baseball, but I think a lot of people will understand it. There's a company called Sinclair that was going to buy this company, and they were the people from the Star Wars bar scene. And they ended up not being able to buy the company, which was a very good thing for us. They did a very bad thing. The reason they didn't get FCC approval is because they cheated, lied, and cheated. And the
or
FCC said no.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, you're working for a Sinclair television station in Oregon.
And that I was, yeah. I started January 2018.
Yeah, and at one point, because we heard all about this on a national basis last year, these forced reads, which means for people that don't understand, your local news should be news about stuff that's local, that's not shoved down the anchor's throats because it serves some purpose of the ownership. That's not news. And yet, this is what Sinclair does on stations all over the country, and you are one of two, as I understand it. To
my knowledge, to this day, I still only know of me and my co-anchor.
Yeah,
who just said
we're not going to do it.
I couldn't do it. Thank you.
You're getting the coveted
that.
Steve Cochran Show sitting ovation.
I honestly didn't think that it would be a big deal or be national news at all. I just went with my gut. I had to do what was right, and who would have thought that we'd
be
here
the
only ones?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your parents must have raised you right.
Let's chalk it up to that.
Let's go with that.
Well, the thing about this that, and we talked about this when we were, when she was talking about coming over here, was that, she went to Purdue. She studied journalism there. They have the academic standard is very high there for journalism, as it is for a lot of schools, Missouri and other places, Northwestern, of course, most famously. I keep got to work them in because of that thing I said earlier.
Dave's giving you a death stare or something. You keep going back to the guilt.
But the reality is that this is what you learn, right? I mean, this is like the first day in journalism school is that this is the corporate interests of the owners of the news operation are separated from the editorial interests. Right. There is always a wall between them.
That's the problem Sam Zell
build that wall.
When Sam Zell bought the Tribune Company, that's the problem he had. He said, hey, it's a business. I'm here to make money. You can go all the way back to the Hearst family and the early newspaper families generationally. You bought it to make a successful journalistic news operation that you would benefit from and profit from because they were really good at getting news and reporting news. You don't turn it into your show. And Zell never got that.
Right.
As I've said many times, dumbest billionaire in America.
Wow. Well, listen, I got to run. It was really great seeing you again, Steve.
Lauren, congratulations.
Thank you.
You looking forward to it?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get back in the mix of everything. Ro is probably going to be, I'm going to drive him crazy probably not too long.
It's a very short drive.
I think it may go the other way. I'm going to be honest with you. But hang on one second. I got a couple more things for you before you go.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bill and Wendy have joined us for the second round of questioning of witness Lauren Lapka.
This is like a Supreme Court thing where they ask the questions.
We've already voted to approve, so congratulations.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Go ahead, Bill.
What are your intentions?
With our little boy, Ro?
Yeah.
What are my intentions?
Yeah, what are your intentions? Yeah.
I would use him until he's all used up.
That's happened.
Yes.
Yeah, that works out. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I want to point out that last week when Marshall Brodeen died, Bill and I sat down with Marshall Brodeen in 2007.
Okay.
Back on the greatest radio show of all times.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the...
Don and Roma.
What he's doing now. Exactly. And Marshall Brodeen told a story, and I don't remember this until I knew we had the tape and we played it, and I didn't hear it until we just played it last week in the top five as an obit. He told a story about being shaken down by the mob.
Oh, yeah.
About how he would do magic tricks for these mob parties.
Yeah, I know the story.
Yeah.
Show me the trick.
Yeah.
I can't show you the trick. It's magic. Show me the trick. Show me the trick. And he holds the gun to the kid's head. The kid being Marshall Brodeen in this place. Yes. He showed him the trick.
That was great. That's a great. Now, if we could only do that with Copperfield, we would have had none of this problem.
Congratulations, Bill. Rowan, I just heard you have been accepted at MIT.
Yeah, they finally took me.
She's very good.
All
Lauren,
of a sudden.
Lauren actually put up $100,000 to
you
get you into MIT.
Oh, that's
I've
so
been
nice.
Saving for a while.
Have fun this afternoon with whatever cameo you appear to be doing prior to your regular job.
I appreciate it.
And really, when you get sick of him, come by.
Sure,
look at this. Oh, my God. You steal half a staff, and the guy won't let it go.
And suddenly, there's retribution.
And, Lauren, you always have a place still in sports.
Awesome.
Remember
good to know.
Too.
Yeah. And welcome, Lauren.
Good to see you again, Wendy.
You. Welcome.
Welcome back. Yeah.
I think you'll like it here.
I think
I know you'll like it here. Ro, see you this afternoon.
I love it here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, apparently, just plug in your old LS show. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we're going next. Apparently, John had somewhere to go. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Hello, Steve.
How's the cough?
You know, 4 to 5% better.
Oh.
This is day 19 of my head being held hostage by the cough.
Yeah.
The cough that just won't quit.
I got one, too. We got to stop making out.
Yeah, well, no, I think we keep making out because it diverts us from the cough.
I want some of your cough medicine, maybe.
Yeah, well, listen, it's grape flavored, just like it was when I was a kid.
Yum.
I died for that. I literally, at this point, I've got an inhaler.
Yeah.
I've got cough medicine.
Wow.
I've got an antibiotic and a steroid.
Wow.
And I'm taking them all in a smoothie. At one time.
Yum.
And Dr. Nick said this was okay, right?
There's yeah.
no problems with
yeah.
this?
Yeah. Same doctor that worked with Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Yep. What are you guys doing today? I mean, other than getting your kids into college.
Dane Neal will talk about St. Patrick's Day food. Ethical hacker Jason Glassberg will be here. And misquoted movie lines.
Okay. So you're not going to talk about the college scams?
No. Already?
More people yeah. are going
to
come out.
We're too close to it.
Don't
I'm
you think?
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Completely. And Felicity Huffman is downstairs right now and mm-hmm. saying, we'll work for food.
It's right so now? Sad. One day
what
later?
A fall from grace.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Fast.
You think Bill Macy even knows that she's in jail?
Well, there's a story about that, about why he's not...
Yeah, well, do you know? I don't know.
They know he's involved in it, but they think he's not involved to the degree that she's involved.
Supposedly
in
on the tape, I don't know, somebody says Roe or somebody just said this, all you hear him go is, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, there's
like he's trying to get off the phone and do another Shameless.
There's a portion of it where he's trying to determine exactly to what extent they want. Like he says something about she needs two more days. Like you can take the test in 1 day or 2 days, and he suggests that it'd be a 2 day. It's a mess.
It's an embarrassing way to go down too. If I'm going to get arrested, no, I want to go out in a better
flashy.
Way. Yeah.
And if I'm Lori Loughlin, I don't know who told who, but Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman, you're assuming your friends. One tells the other and gets them.
Oh, maybe.
Lori Loughlin spends $500,000 for her two kids.
Right.
$15,000 for one of her kids. Somebody right. got a better rate card.
Well, she had a coupon. There was a coupon in the paper.
Telefriend.
Was it a Groupon?
Yeah.
Groupon.
See you tomorrow.